Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Father Frank Martinez, who is the manager of the Spiritual Care Department for Christus Spahn Hospital, Shoreline. Thank you for joining us today, Father.
It's great being here with you.
I'm very excited to talk about chaplaincy. We're going to learn more about what that is. Recently, I had the pleasure of speaking about my clinical pastoral education experience and being a chaplain for a semester and those 3 a.m. on-calls that I did not but it was great to talk about helping people during many suffering times and helping the families and assisting them in that fashion. And it takes a great person with different qualities to be a chaplain. But can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was born here in Corpus Christi, Texas, and from great, lovely parents, Maria Consuelo, Dr. Maria Consuelo Martinez and Roosevelt Martinez. I have 6 sisters and 2 brothers.
Wow.
And my parents say we're all treated equal. But at Christmas time, we find out that there are certain favorites, but actually it's all of us are their favorites. So it's wonderful being brought up in a large family.
Thank you for that. Now, again, you're the manager of the Spiritual Care Department, but you are also a chaplain. And for our audience, can you share, what is a chaplain?
A chaplain is, we give emotional and spiritual care to patients and associates and the patient's family in a hospital setting. And we have chaplains, we have priest chaplains, and within our Christus Spahn system.
And when we speak about emotional and spiritual care, there's many different departments in a hospital. There's a neonatal intensive care unit. There's
correct,
an intensive care unit. There's post and prenatal care unit, and just a variety of different places where you can minister. Can you tell me what are some of the encounters that you have with these patients?
Well, within Christus Spahn Shoreline, the chaplains are assigned different floors and different units. Some are ICU units, some are the ERs. But our main concern is just to be there with all patients of all religions, and especially for when our Catholics who are patients in our hospital, we take care of their sacramental needs as well. And we're there 24/7. On call whenever a family or a patient may need us in the hospital. And we just encounter with them on a journey that we try the best we can to bring the presence of God and Christ wherever they're at, especially in the time of their suffering or their time of need. We're there for them to journey with them, to help them during a time that they never expected to be into. It may have been a total surprise, and they just need to have an ear or a voice or a sacrament to let them know that God does love them and God does care, and God doesn't allow suffering to happen just for suffering's sake. But we recognize that within suffering there's purpose, there is meaning, and that's what we try to discover together. Where is a purpose? Where is meaning with what the patient's family is going through? And it may not be revealed right there and then in the hospital. It may just be revealed just in time within their own parish community, within their own family. And we're just to assist as much as we can while they're in the hospital, their emotional and spiritual needs.
Father, you speak about suffering. Can you tell us a little bit more about redemptive suffering? Because that's what I think you're alluding to.
Yes, and very good question. Obviously, you are a CPE student, or you went through the whole process. Redemptive suffering is just trying to understand the best that we're able to how God reveals himself to us with our own crosses that we carry, emotional, spiritual, physical crosses that we have. And as today's reading said, how do we carry them well? They were called to embrace our cross. And how does that cross bring us to that resurrection? And that resurrection may be in this life. The resurrection may be in the kingdom that will come. But where is purpose in what we're going through? And the whole idea of being self-aware of what, of who we are in our own spiritual journey. And how does this fit within the integrity that we're called to be through our own baptismal promises? And how do we live that out, even if that baptismal promise calls us to be on that cross for a while? But knowing that that's not where it ends. Actually, for us, that's where it begins.
And I ask that, Father, because many people do ask the question, why God allows suffering?
Sure.
And you answered that right now, that suffering leads us, or reminds us of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it also becomes redemptive, because I know when I suffer, I get closer to God. You know,
sure.
People have a choice. They either get closer to God, or in that weakness, that very dark time of suffering, they go away from God, and they ask themselves that question, you know, why is this happening to me?
Sure.
But to find strength in knowing that God is there to lift you up from that trying time. And I think that's how chaplains assist us.
Right.
You know, my grandmother is in the hospital, and you said the sacraments. Our parents wanted a chaplain to be present, more specifically a Catholic priest, to give my grandmother the anointing of the sick and to hear her confession. And she was 74 years. She is 74 years old. She's a fighter, I'll tell you. And she recently had a heart valve replacement. I mean, the doctors are magnificent
right.
in terms of what they can do for people. But the comfort that we feel in having that spiritual presence there is undeniable.
Sure.
And very much needed during times of suffering.
Right.
So from me to all the chaplains, thank you all for your ministry. Now, let's go back to Chris's response system. How many chaplains do you all have?
In our whole system, we have around 16 chaplains, and two of them are Catholic sisters, and we have six priest chaplains within our system, which we talk about Spahn Shoreline, then we have Memorial, then we have South, and then we also have a hospital in Alice and in Kingsville, and Beeville as well, and along with other clinics in our area.
Okay, and so does every hospital have its own full-time chaplain?
Yes.
That's
yes,
good to know.
Yes, it does. Oh, yes. And within every hospital, let's say that a patient needs a priest in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning, all they need to do is just call the operator there at the respected hospital and to say, I would like a priest to come visit my mom or dad or brother or sister in the hospital. And they'll say, okay, we'll get a priest there. And every priest carries a pager, and we're assigned around the clock along with other chaplains. We have first call, we have second call. It's a real complex way we do things, but our main purpose, no matter how complex it is to take care of the patients 24/7.
Now, in terms of patients, anyone can ask for a chaplain or a Catholic priest, regardless of their denomination or even non-belief.
Exactly, exactly. I just had today a patient asking for a priest. And I went there, and I noticed that she was not of the Catholic faith. And she says, I don't care which chaplain comes. I just want someone to pray with me.
Oh, boy.
And that was that's just very powerful when God goes beyond religion and God just says, I just want to be present with the one I love.
Father, let me ask you, because that's very touching. Why did you know, people need chaplains. Why did you become a chaplain?
My theme, I was a parish priest of the Holy Family for over 13 years, and I've been at different parishes. My theme has always been, we help each other make it to heaven. Let's help each other make it to heaven. And everything that we do with the Guadalupanas, Catholic Daughters, Knights of Columbus, anything that we do, it always has to be focused on helping each other make it to heaven. And then within my own spiritual journey, just recognizing being called to something different, and what better way can we help someone make it to heaven when they're on their deathbed, when they are taking their last breaths and they're just saying, Jesus, be with me. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm ready. And how to be able to assist someone to be with God. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And it's something I never thought I'd be doing. But what an honor that I'm able to do that now.
Father, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
A special convalidation seminar for civilly married couples or those who were married outside of the Catholic Church and wish to have their marriage convalidated is set for Saturday, March 10th, in the Parish Hall at St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road. For complete information, contact Deacon Stephen Nolte, Director of the Office of Family Life for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, at 882-6191. The deadline for registration is March 7th. Again, the number to call is 882-6191.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Father Frank Martinez, who is the manager of the Spiritual Care Department for Christus Spahn Hospital, Shoreline. Father, we've had great conversation talking about what a chaplain is, talking about suffering, redemptive suffering. And just to know that a chaplain is available at these different hospitals is good. I know that there's people in the audience that have people in the hospital, relatives, friends that they know.
Right.
And the accessibility to a chaplain is important for us to know about. What are some of the responsibilities of the chaplains in the Christus Spahn hospitals?
Mainly, we're to assist the patient and their family actually back to their community, that the hospital chapel or the hospital itself is not a parish. It's not a community. We're to be able to be there for them, like I said, emotional and spiritually, and then ask them, you know, do you want to be connected back to your parish? Does your pastor know you're here? Do you want them to know you're here? Do you want us to contact them for you, or do you want to contact them? We have a list of all the different parishes in our area, and we connect them back to the parish so that the healing emotionally and spiritually for some people begins there at the hospital, but it needs to be embraced with another faith community in which they can be involved with. And for some people, they go back to the church because of going back into the hospital, and we reconnect them with their pastor and with their church family.
So people during this time and really just in our walk of life need that support system, and they should find that in their parish, in their church, whatever denomination it is. So you show them these are your resources.
Exactly.
So it doesn't end here.
Right.
You can continue this journey.
Exactly.
In your parish.
Right.
And or with this support group.
Some people would say, I want to be baptized now, or I want to get married in the church now, or I want to be a padrino, or I want to be a Eucharistic minister because a Eucharistic minister visited me here in the hospital, or visited my mom when she was in the hospital and brought Christ to them. I want to be able to do the same thing. And so we connect them back to their parish and say, welcome to your new spiritual life. And it's wonderful. And a lot of priests and sisters and deacons appreciate us being able to be part of that journey with them.
You know, in saying that, the different reasons why people might want to receive this or that sacrament or go back into the Catholic Church and be an active Catholic, let's say, that's actually why I decided to pursue clinical pastoral education, or as you said, CPE, and become a chaplain myself, at least for that semester internship. I was in the hospital for 11 weeks. I was pregnant. I was on bed rest, and people visited me. Mm-hmm. Not only were they chaplains, but they were also from other denominations, and they would bring me magazines. They would come in and just offer me conversation. And what I decided to do is I said, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can offer some services back to the people that helped me in that time of need and that time of suffering for 11 weeks on bed rest. And I decided to go back to learn what this whole chaplain thing was about. And I decided to minister to the women that were in the pre- or postnatal units, those that were going to give birth or that those that had given birth, and also the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. And I must say that when you see a one-pound baby struggling to stay alive, it really gives you perspective on life.
Sure.
And on your own suffering and what it means to serve another person, because we're here to serve one another.
Right.
You know, the mothers that were suffering to see their little one-pound baby in an incubator and not know if they were going to survive the next hour is only something that, you know, only so many people could do. So again, thank you for your ministry as a chaplain, and I know I appreciated all those different experiences that I had.
Sure.
Now, what are all chaplains Catholic? Are some from the Protestant denomination? Are some non-religious? Tell me more about that, Father. Yeah.
Well, we have from different variety of denominations, Adventists, Presbyterian, Baptists, of course, Catholic. It's wonderful being able to see how everyone works together for a common mission. And our mission at the Christus Bond System is to extend the healing hand, healing ministry of Jesus. And what no matter where we're at in our faith, that is a mission that all of us associates and all of us chaplains follow within our Christus Bond System. And so it's great eating together at lunchtime. We don't have to eat together, but we do come together, most of us, and we discuss a lot of different things that are going on. And we can respectfully disagree, but we know that the bottom line is our love and our passion for our ministry and our connection with God.
So can someone request a Catholic chaplain or, let's say, a Protestant chaplain? Are they able to make that determination themselves?
Oh, yes.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, and it's within our city, or I think even within our county, I think we're like 62% are Catholic. And so we have a large Catholic population, a Hispanic population also. And so there's a respect there within the chaplains, no matter if you're Catholic or what religion you are. Our bottom goal is emotional and spiritual care.
And you know, Father, there's one thing that I learned is that when people are in these intimate times and suffering times, that's when they seek the sacraments. Again, we spoke about this earlier. We want that Catholic priest to come and do the anointing of the sick. We need that sacramental grace. We want to receive the Eucharist. We need someone to hear our confession. Can you speak to that?
Well, I have to share with you a story. I was just a chaplain there at Spawn Shoreline for about a month. And there was this 27-year-old young lady who had cancer. And so I went to, they asked for a priest to go visit. So I went to go visit. And she was crawled up in the bed. The curtains were drawn down, the shades, and her family were there. And then I went there and I visited her. She didn't say much. I said, I'll come back in the afternoon. Came back the afternoon. She was in the hospital for 3 months. But after the first month, she said, I want to receive the Eucharist. Okay, I'll bring it tomorrow. But I've never had my first communion. And so I had her aunts prepare for her first communion, learn how to the prayers, the basic prayers. And then when the aunts think you're ready, then we'll have your first communion. 3 days later, I gave her a little exam, a little test. She passed with flying colors. And then I go, do you want this afternoon to receive the Eucharist? No, tomorrow. Well, they got the sheets, and they put the sheet over her head, and they put a crown of flowers.
Oh, boy.
And they put makeup on her, dressed her up beautifully, mm-hmm. and she received Jesus in the Eucharist. 3 days later, she died.
Oh, my God.
But she had that experience with Christ, and that how powerful it is that she, that's what she yearned for, 27 years old. But she died with Christ with her, in her, and holding her. And she knew that. She died peacefully.
You know, Father, that's a beautiful story. And there's also, in hearing you speak about the Eucharist, there's also an extended ministry, and that's of extraordinary Eucharistic ministers.
Yes.
And they have a great mission. Can you tell me more about their role?
They are also not just extraordinary, but extra, extraordinary to be able to minister in a hospital setting. And their main purpose is to bring Jesus to the patients, not just to talk with them or not just to say, how are you doing? Their purpose is to be Jesus's hands, his eyes, his feet, bringing the Eucharist to those who really need him, because there's not enough priests. We can have up to 67 patients who want to receive the Eucharist in one day. And so total, we have around a little over 100 Eucharistic ministers in the whole system. It's on Shoreline around 43 Eucharistic ministers. They're all wonderful. They're all wonderful. And they give their time. They go through a long process, but this is what they desire. This is what their ministry calls them to do.
And if someone wanted to inquire about to be an extraordinary Eucharistic minister, who would you direct them to?
They can call the spiritual care department at any one of the facilities, or especially call Liz Mendoza and just ask for her there from the hospital operator, and
we'll
get them going. That's right.
Father, so wonderful to speak with you. And again, thank you for your ministry as a chaplain. I pray that your ministry continues to flourish. And thank you again for joining us on Labors of Love.
Thank you.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
An old comic strip shows two men drinking in a bar. One says to the other, "You know, women are all alike." His friend replies, "No, they're not." Then the first man asks the other, "How would you know? You've been married almost all of your life." And the second retorts, "How would you know? You've never had a date." The next scene shows the men sitting, looking into their drinks. Finally, the first man says, "I wonder what women are really like." And the second replies, "Who knows?" This cartoon serves to frame larger questions than who knows what women, or men for that matter, are really like. It directs us to seek truths that are larger than what we readily see. These truths concern the purpose of our existence and the reason for being male or female. In A Theology of the Body, Blessed John Paul II leads us into the depths of the Word of God so that we won't fail to let it penetrate our life, but rather will be changed by its truth. Reflecting on the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, John Paul II found himself directed back to the book of Genesis. It is from there that he speaks to us. We are all familiar with the events in Genesis chapter 3, even if we don't know which chapter it is. If you were asked to fill in the blank that follows the word original, most of us would immediately respond with the word sin. We've all heard about original sin, even if we don't really fully understand it. Well, in John Paul II's teachings, he proposes to us that there were actually three original experiences of man that occurred before original sin, and these three experiences tell us what God created us for. According to his understanding, the last 8 verses of chapter 2 reveal to us that God created man to be different from the rest of creation in a way that allows mankind to image God. In verses 18 through 20, we find the original experience of solitude. This is an experience that informs man that he is capable of knowing that he is not like the cattle or the birds of the air. He alone can know himself and know God. We are reminded of other words which say we are to know and love God with our whole mind, with all of our might, and with all our soul. The next four verses tell of the creation of woman from the side of man, and how they are meant to cling to one another, becoming one. This is the experience of unity, and it calls us to live in a relationship with one another, even as God does in the mystery of the Trinity. The last verse of the chapter speaks of the man and woman being naked, yet knowing no shame. It refers to the original innocence that mankind knew before sin distorted his way of knowing and being. The man and woman saw one another in the light of all the beauty they were created to image, the image of unity among persons and knowing themselves in God, even as God himself does. In Matthew, Jesus tells the Pharisees and us that we need to go back to the beginning and discover how God wants us to live our lives in accordance with his original plan. May the sacred moments of your life always lead you back to the true purpose for which God created you, and may you always lead others to his truth. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Father Frank Martinez, who is not only a chaplain but manager of the Spiritual Care Department with Christus Spahn Hospital, Shoreline. If you would like more information about spiritual care, please call 361-881-3616. And again, thank you for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.